Looking back in 1 John tonight, so you can look, take your Bibles and turn to the epistle of 1 John, chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. All right, praise God. I'll not ask you to stand tonight. We're going to read several verses here and then give you thought the Lord's laid on our heart tonight out of 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 7. We covered some of these verses, Wednesday night, I guess, but we'll pick up these as well, get the whole passage here, and then give you what the Lord's put on our heart. So 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So we're looking at, the first phrase of verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And so we're looking at kind of at that thought here in this passage. That's the theme of this passage, is "let us love one another." And so this would be kind of a second part, I guess, to looking at that from Wednesday night. And you pray for us, Lord, help us. We'll get through as much as we can. Amen. And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight. God, bless the reading of it. And Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, the good prayer time. And Lord, I thank you for the good fellowship, good service you gave us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your people, Lord, being together in the house of God tonight. Lord, it's just been good. Lord, to be, Lord, in your house on the Lord's day. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and, Lord, loose my lips. Help us, Lord, to say only what you'd have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And may your will be done. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've found it kind of difficult, I guess, studying through and trying to prepare to preach this passage. I think maybe because when you're dealing with a topic like the love of God, it's so big. And how could you ever in just a message or even just a series of messages cover the love of God? You know what I mean? And there's even so much dealt with in this passage here, and so much talked about. He's, of course, even already talked about the love of God and loving one another multiple times throughout the book of 1 John. But right here, it really gets in depth and gets into detail. And so I've kind of struggled with it, but with the Lord's help, we're just going to do the best we can. Amen. One thing's for sure, you could preach through a book, then you could get to the end and start over from the beginning and go through it all again and still be fresh. There'd still be more to give. You know what I'm saying? And so you pray for us, Lord, to help us. But we're looking at "let us love one another." This is one of the two great commandments that Jesus gave. Jesus gave those commandments whenever he was asked by that lawyer in Matthew chapter 22, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And trying to, you know, back the Lord into a corner and trying to get him in a sticking point there. But Jesus declared that the two greatest commandments there are. He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy mind." And then he said, the second one is likened to it. He said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." And on these two hang all the law and all the
prophets. Amen. In other words, if we could get those two right, we'll get everything else right. And really, when you think about it, every problem that we have, every sin that we commit, every time we disappoint God, every time we fail God, you can pretty much narrow it down to one of those two commandments or both of them. Not loving Him like we should, or not loving our neighbor as we should. Amen. And so that's what it all hangs on. There's a lot of teaching, a lot of doctrine, a lot of commands, a lot of things to be said, all through the Word of God, a lot to be preached, but it all hangs on that. Amen. And so, loving one another. This is one of the two great commandments. It's been dealt with already. We've already seen a few things. In verse number 7, we've seen that we have a responsibility in this thing. Beloved, let us love one another. That is a command. And, you know, anything that's commanded by God in the Word of God is not impossible. It may be impossible with you and impossible in the flesh, but it's not impossible through Christ. Amen? And so He commands that, and it's not an impossible command, but it is a command for which you are responsible. You and I are responsible to intentionally and efficiently love one another. It's something that we have to do intentionally, because the fact is, not everybody's lovable all the time. Miss Wilson testifies all the time. Thank God He saved me and loved me when I was unlovable. Amen. And I second that testimony. Amen. I can be a mighty unlovable person, and you can be a mighty unlovable person. Amen. But thank the Lord He loved us anyways, even when we were unlovable. Therefore, we ought to love somebody else and love one another, especially even when they're unlovable. Amen. Matter of fact, that leads to the second point, is that not only do we have a responsibility in this thing, but we have a reason for this thing. He said in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Love is of God. Now listen, this world that we're in has got, it preaches love and declares love all the time. But boy, it's a backwards kind of love. Amen? It's a messed up kind of love, because real love only comes from God. Love is only of God. I tell you, the love of this world is a self-centered, self-righteous, amen, self-promoting, all about self-love, amen? And as a matter of fact, they make no bones about it. They preach just that. Self-love. Amen. It's all body positivity and self-love and taking care of yourself first and me first. And you know, you gotta really take care of yourself first before you, sir, love anybody else. Listen, where do you find that in the Bible? Amen. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, listen, you ought to take care of yourself first before you can take care of somebody else. Find that in the Scripture and get back to me. Amen. Because the message from God is always self-sacrifice. Amen. Laying down yourself. Take upon yourself the cross. Take my cross. Amen. Take up your cross. Amen. That's a death to self. Paul said, "I die daily." Amen. And so, listen, the greatest man who ever lived, we talked about this morning, he was a self-giving person. Amen. And so we have a reason for it, and the reason is that love is of God. The only way this world will ever know real love is going to be through the love of God that they find through His people. Amen. The love of God that they find through His people, through His Word, and through the Spirit of God. That's the only way this world will know love. They are so confused. They think they figured it out. They think they've got it. They think they've got it figured out. They think they've got figured out what will bring fulfillment in their life. They think they figured out what will bring completion in their life, what's really going to meet their needs. But they are so wrong, and there's a way that seemeth right unto man, that the way that the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that's what they're finding out. Listen, all this transgenderism, those people are miserable. And you go listen to some of their testimonies. You can find testimonies of people who have made the transition and gone through all the things. The girls who have been on testosterone treatment and made the surgical transitions and mutilated their bodies and all those things to transition into being a man. And it doesn't fulfill them. It makes them miserable. Yeah, same way. It doesn't fulfill. Yeah, they think they've got it all figured out. They think if I could just have this one thing, this self-love, then I'll be complete and I'll finally be. If I can finally come out of the closet with this, then I'll finally be happy. And what they're finding is that they're realizing that it's been a lie of the devil the whole time. Amen. Listen, sin is always a lie. It's always a mirage. It's always a figment of your imagination. Listen, it's never going to be what the devil and your flesh and this world makes you think it's going to be. Amen? Listen, real love is only found in God because love is of God. That is our reason. He said love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. The only way this world will ever know real love is through us. Amen. We have a reason. But then he said in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's a good reason to love one another. Because God loved us. Amen? And if He loved you as wicked as you are, the least you can do is love somebody else whenever they're not perfect. See, a lot of times we hold people to a standard we don't even hold ourselves to. We expect, you know, we want to be loved and accepted, you know, and just people just kind of deal with the way that we are sometimes. Amen? But we're not so quick to do that with everybody else. We can be mighty hard on everybody else, but you know God's done that. He knows the worst about us. Listen, the worst that we know about you is not the worst about you. There's way worse than that on down in there. Amen? The worst thing you've ever said in your life, listen, that's only the abundance of the heart. That's only the spillover, the overflow. There's way more down in there than what's coming out, what we're seeing on the surface. But God knows it all. God knows every dark corner. God knows every closed door. God knows it all, yet He still loves us anyway. And it's amazing that we can be so hard on other people and have expectations on one another as the family of God, the children. We can have expectations on one another that we don't even put on ourselves. But if He loved us, we ought to love one another. Him loving me, Him loving you, that's a good reason to love one another. Amen? And then we have a resource for this all, though. He said in verse 7, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It says in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, really it's not in us to love the way God loves, but we have a spirit within us. We have the nature of God within us helping us to love the way He loves. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Let me give you a few more things tonight as we move on through the passage. We're going to look at verse 9 and verse 10. Because not only do we have a responsibility and a reason and a resource in this thing, but right here in this verse, we have a revelation in this thing. Love has been revealed. We're not left to our own devices to try to figure it out. God doesn't just say, well, love like me, love one another the way I love everyone the way I've loved you. He doesn't just say, general terms. No, He gets specific so that we know exactly what He's talking about and manifests and He reveals what the love He is actually talking about is right here. Verse 9, He says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what this is? This is the highest form of love that the world will not know. This is a sacrificial love and God choosing to love people that are so wicked and so beneath Him, amen, and so unworthy of His love, yet He committed Himself and He loved us. And listen, He showed us His love at Calvary, amen. And this is the highest form of love that humanity can know, and they'll never know it outside the love of God. Amen? So it's revealed by God sending His only begotten Son. It's revealed by God making a way for man to live, really live. Amen? Paul said, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, real living isn't out there. Real living is right here. Amen? Where God is, living for God, being saved by the grace of God, trusting Jesus and serving Him, following Him, and a death to self and a death to this world. That's real living. That's real living. And it's His love is revealed in allowing us to partake of that. Amen. We all ought to be and even would be out there just as messed up as the rest of this society if it wasn't for Him. Amen. That's where we ought to be. It's where we should be. Amen. But he's made a way, and his love is revealed in that. His love is revealed by God loving us when we didn't even love him, when we were enemies of God, going the other direction, when we were shaking our fists in the face of God, whenever we were, you know, spiteful towards God, spiteful towards his people, and we hated Christians and hated the preacher that preached to us and hated the love that God was showing to us and hated the conviction in our soul, hated the word of God. Whenever we despise all the things of God, yet he loved us. I tell you, that's real love. Amen. Amen. And loved us so much that he gave his son to take our place and appease his wrath. That's what propitiation means. Propitiation means taking your wrath, appeasing your wrath. The wrath that should be setting down on you right now from God. Amen. He poured all that out on his only begotten son. Amen. Listen, there's not a person alive tonight that I'd give one of my boys for. I'm just telling you, there's no way. I know the love of a father for a son. I've experienced that myself. I know what that is. I know what that feeling is. And there's not a person alive tonight that I would give up one of my boys. Even though I've got three, I wouldn't give one. God gave his only one. Amen? And as wicked as we are and unworthy as are, he did it because of his love. That is love. That is love. Amen? You're not going to find this teaching on CNN. Amen. You're not going to find this teaching in the public school classrooms of America. You're not going to find this teaching in a psychiatrist's office. You're not going to find this teaching in some textbook. The only place you'll find this sort of love taught is in this Bible. Because this goes against every fiber that is fallen humanity. Amen. This completely goes against everything that is human nature, which is, there you go. Thank you, Miss Ann. I was hoping somebody would. We're getting somewhere, praise God. It does. It goes against, listen, we know that man didn't write this Bible, because who of us would write that? Would write this. When God says to love each other the way I've loved you, and then go into the details of how that love looks, and go into the details of him sending his only begotten son and sacrificing the best that he had for you and for me, unworthy people. Listen, who of us would write that and come up with that? Oh no, we'd make it about us. Amen. Listen, even within the home, even with marriage, which is a picture of Christ in the church, the greatest problems we have in our marriages, it's always when we're not doing this. It's the greatest struggles we have, is loving somebody else the way God loves us. Right? Amen. Loving them sacrificially. And so he poured all his wrath on his own son so he didn't have to pour it on you. Amen. Again, this is the highest form of love known only through God and his word. And it is the revelation. You're not going to find this anywhere else. If you're wondering, you know, what does real love really look like? It's right here. Look no further than Calvary. Amen. And it's not some warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. It's not some spark that we get, you know. Listen, if you've been married long, you realize that spark goes away. Amen. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a fact. Nobody's saying it's getting quiet in here, but I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, the spark and the fireworks are not always there. He's not always going to be Prince Charming. Amen. I mean, when he wears his clothes, I mean, they stink too after he gets them dirty. You know, his socks stink too. His shoes stink too. And she'll wake up in the morning, her breath will be stinking too. Hallelujah. Amen. Better get careful. We're treading on thin ice here now. Listen, that's a fact. Listen, that spark is not always there. It's not always that warm, fuzzy feeling. And it's not always getting me in the feels, you know. But if we're going to love like God, we love anyways. Amen. And he calls on us to love one another that way. By the way, that's what this is all about. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. He's talking about loving each other, the children of God, this way. Because yes, just like He loved the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the picture of it all. That's the picture of love that He's talking about right there at all. And so He loves the world. Therefore, if He loves the world, listen, we ought to love the world too. But what He's talking about right here, what's being dealt with here, is the particular love that we have for each other. And we ought to have a particular love one for another because the Lord has a particular love for His bride. Therefore, we ought to love each other with a particular love. And that love, just like a marital love, just like it has to be cultivated. You have to cultivate that love. Listen, the devil will try to draw your heart into loving the things of this world and loving the people of this world. But you have to be very careful and watch out that you're not letting anyone or anything take the place of the love of God in your life or the love of His people in your life. Amen. Listen, if there's anything in your life that you enjoy doing or any people you enjoy being with more than you enjoy being with God's people, listen, you really need to be careful of that. You really need to check up on that. Amen. Because we're supposed to have a particular love for the Lord and the things of God and the people of God. Amen. And that's a battle with our flesh and with the Adamic man just like anything else is. Amen. Listen, the lost world, they don't come and hang around here because they don't want to be here and there's nothing in them that makes them want to be here. When you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. Therefore, you get something on the inside that makes you want to be here and want to be among God's people and want to serve God. We were talking just the other day, we were talking about how we used to go tagging doors on Wednesday nights and things like that. And boy, I'm looking forward to getting back and doing that stuff because we'd go tag doors and we'd go out to eat together. We'd get a bite to eat. And how much that helped the Wednesday night service because you're already together and you're already serving God. And there's just something particularly that feels particularly good about serving God and being together and being with God. There's just something particularly fulfilling about that that you don't get anywhere else. Right? Amen. But see, the world doesn't find anything out because there's not anything in them to make them enjoy that. Right? So we've got something on the inside that makes us enjoy it, but we've also got that dead flesh that enjoys other things. Just like in Romans, was it 7 and 8, right? That Adamic man. And so the world's not battling that thing. They don't like us and they don't care. But for us, if you're saved, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. Because the world is constantly trying to draw your heart away. And the devil's constantly trying to sow friends and sow people in your life that connect with your personality and connect with your sense of humor. And boy, if you're not careful, you can really begin to love that crowd. And it's one thing to love them as God loved the whole world and gave His Son for the whole world. But it's another thing to love and embrace them and take them in and get too close to them. Amen. And let them affect your life. Let them influence your life. You have to be very careful about that. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying that's what He's talking about. He's talking about the love that we have one for another. And He commands us, let us love one another. In other words, make sure you love one another more than you love anybody else. Hey, a local New Testament church certainly is an exclusive place. Amen. We want everyone to come that will come, don't we? We want everyone to get on the preaching that will get on the preaching. And we wouldn't turn anybody away. Amen? Nobody that wasn't a threat. If they'd come and they'd sit and they'd listen and they'd be preached to, I want them here. And you do too, I'm sure. Amen? Well, I want them here. I want them to be here. Listen, but the reality is, in terms of being a part of the body of Christ and really being a part of the church, listen, it is an exclusive group. Amen? And if you're not saved, you're on the outside looking in. And that's the way it should feel. That's the way it's supposed to feel. Amen. We are supposed to love one another particularly. I know modern religion doesn't say that. Oh, you're supposed to love everybody. And you are. But we love each other particularly. That is the command. Let me move on. So we have revelation here. And so we see it at Calvary. But then, the next thing we find in verses 11, all the way down through verse number 16, he starts to deal with how there's a reflection of this love. So not only do we have a revelation, but we are to be a reflection. See, God has called us and He has set up His church to be a reflection of His love to this world. It's much like the sun and the moon. Whenever the sun is gone and the sun is away, the moon reflects the light of the sun to the world. Did you realize that? You know, realize this, the moon does not produce any light in and of itself. You know what the moon is? It is a cold, dead, lifeless rock. That's literally all it is. Nothing lives on the moon. Nothing grows on the moon. There's no light that the moon can produce itself. I mean, it is cold. Listen, it cannot even be inhabited with life. Amen. And ask Brother Ernest. He don't even believe we went to the moon. I'm just kidding. I don't know if he believes that or not. But you ask some people, they don't believe we went to the moon. Fact is, it doesn't produce anything of itself. It's just there. It is cold and dead. The only light produced by the moon is that which is produced by the sun. And the moon reflects that light. That's why we have different sizes of moons, because that shadow of the earth moves between the sun and the moon and casts that shadow. That's why it's a crescent moon sometime or a half moon. And it's all because the earth is in the shadow of the sun and it's cutting into that light that is being reflected from the sun. Listen, it's no different with us. Listen, the only light we'd ever produce to this world is that which is reflected by the sun. Amen. And the only time that light gets dim from us is whenever the world is getting in the way. Amen. When we let this world get in the way of our lives, it cuts into the light that we are able to reflect. That's why we're to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Because the world only cuts into the light that we are able to reflect. And that's why God established the church, and that's why He indwells His people, so that He can reflect His love through us. So we're to be a reflection. Look in verse number 11. He says, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So this love is reflected in God loving us, first of all. Amen? That word beloved there, just like in verse 7, he says beloved. And in verse 11, he says beloved. And that word means the divinely loved ones. That's what that word literally means. The divinely loved ones. Those people, that group of people who are loved by divinity. Loved by God. Loved by a divine being. Now we know God loves all men. We understand that. But listen, He loves you and loves me. Those of us that are saved by His grace, He loves us particularly. Amen? And so He's talking to saved people. And Him loving us is seen in the change that He makes in our life. In other words, the love of God is seen. Physically seen with the physical eye, it is seen in somebody where that love dwells. That's why I don't believe that someone can be saved and experience the love of God and go on living the way they've always lived, because the love of God makes a change in your life, makes a difference in your life. When the love of God is spread abroad, shown abroad in our hearts, it makes a difference. You know real love, and you know what it is. And so it makes a difference. And that in itself reflects the love of God. In other words, the world ought to be able to look at God's people, those that are saved, and say, these are people that God loves. Not because of how much money we got, and not because of how successful we are in the ways of this world, but because that we reflect who and what God is. Because we look different, because they can't maybe put their finger on it, but they just know there's something different about these people. They don't live the way I live. They don't talk the way I talk. And they're not involved in the things I'm involved in. And they dress different. They act different. They are different. These are the people of God. And that what they said about the disciples, that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they could tell they'd been with Jesus. I mean, they could tell. That love was present. The love of Him investing in them and Him teaching them and Him, you know, pouring His life. The world could tell. And the world ought to see something different in us. And that thing is the love of God. His love. His love and interest in us is what cleans us up and it's what makes us holy. Amen. And so it's reflected, first of all, just in God loving us. But then it's reflected in us loving each other. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Shouldn't we love those who are divinely loved? Because when we get saved, we receive the nature of God within us. And if it's His nature to love the church in a particular way, should not we love the church and His people in a particular way if we possess His nature? If we're letting His mind be in us, if we're possessing the mind of Christ, shouldn't we think the way He loves and feel the way He feels and be attracted to the things that He's attracted to? See, we have the command. Beloved, let us love one another. That's our responsibility. But we also have the moral obligation. That if He's loved us, it's only right that we love one another. See, if it's the nature of God to love us, His nature in us calls us to love one another too. It causes us to love what He loves. You know, the same is true in prayer. The same is true in desires, things you desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, you delighting yourself in Him comes first. And it's more about wanting what He wants. Therefore, you get the desires of your heart, more so than Him being a big Santa Claus in the sky, giving you whatever you want. You know, giving me that go-kart as a 10-year-old boy, you know. It's a lot, yeah, it's not that at all. It's all about me wanting what He wants. And I tell you, ever since I've been saved, and any time my heart's right with Him and I'm wanting what He wants, I always get everything I want. Because I'm wanting His will. Hey, listen, every time I pray in His will, I get every prayer answered. Amen. He's never not answered a prayer that's been prayed in His will. The only prayers that He doesn't answer and doesn't give us what we ask for is dealt with in James. You have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask to consume it upon your own lusts. You know, I know I'm butchering that verse, but you know what I'm talking about. You know the verse I'm talking about. You ask to consume it upon your own lusts. He doesn't answer those prayers. He answers what's prayed in His will. That's exactly what Jesus prayed. Oh, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Was His prayer not answered? It was answered. The Father's will was done. Amen? And it's the same thing with us. If we have His nature, we're right with Him, we love what He loves. See, you can gauge where you are spiritually based on who and what you love. Amen? It's reflected in us loving each other. It's reflected also in His love being perfected in us. Look in verse 12. He said, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So no man has seen God at any time. In other words, no man has ever seen the triune God with his own eyes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we have seen Jesus or Jesus in the flesh, Jesus Christ, dwellness, and in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and He has been seen, right? Peter said, now that He's gone, He's the one who, having not seen you, love. But the fact is, no man, he's talking about the Godhead. No man has seen God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And, you know, no man's ever seen him any time. But the application, the contrast that he's drawing there is that though no man has seen God any time, God is love, and that love is perfected in us when we love each other. Does that make sense? In other words, the world is going to see God. Men are going to see God through us. And through us loving Him, and through us loving one another. That's exactly what Jesus told His disciples. In this shall all men know ye are My disciples, because ye love one another. Love one another. Can I just say one more time? I've said this a bunch of times lately, but can I just say it one more time? This ought to be your crowd. If you're saved, this is your crowd. Amen. Not out there. Right here. I'm not saying you have to cut everybody out of your life that isn't saved, didn't exactly like us. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying there's a particular love for the people of God, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And the devil and your flesh and the world will try to steal that from you. Amen. And so His love is reflected in that it is perfected in us. It's fulfilled. That's what that word perfected means. Fulfilled. Completed. In us. Amen. And so it's not our love that's perfected, but it's His love that's in us that is perfected. And God's love is brought to fullness or completion in us, and it continues in that state when we love one another. That's one of the main ways this world sees God. You realize that the lost world, they rarely get, really, I guess maybe don't ever get, the kind of love that we get on a regular basis. You realize there's a lot of little boys and a lot of little girls not far from where you're sitting tonight whose parents don't give a rip about them. They don't give a rip. Their parents don't care when or if they ever make it in at night. They don't care where they are or who they're running with. They don't care what movies they're watching. They don't care what they're doing and getting in. They just don't care. As long as they're not bothering them, they do not care. And that looks a whole lot like freedom to the kids that are on this side. Looking at that, like, boy, that looks like, that must be great. But I'm here to tell you, if you're there, if you're one of them, it looks a whole lot like, no one loves me. My parents don't care about me. Amen. That's what it looks like. Listen, there's a lot of people that go through their life, no one ever tells them they love them. Listen, no one ever reaches out to them. No one ever expresses love to them. Listen, no, they never get that. And you and me get it all the time. And we take it for granted. But the Lord has blessed us so much to be a child of God that we are loved by Him and by one another. Amen. Every church is different. Every church expresses love in different ways. Listen, no two churches have the same personality. Isn't that right? And our church expresses love in cooking. Amen. Amen. Listen, anytime someone's down around here, them ladies are getting together and they're cooking. Anytime some preacher's coming to town, oh, we want to cook for them. Amen. And I realize that is one of the ways that our church is gifted, and you ladies are gifted. God has gifted you and blessed you and given you that ability. And it's one of the ways that you express your love for the men of God and the people of God. Amen. And it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Other churches are different. They do different things. That's just the way our church is. But I'm thankful for it. You know, some people never get that. Amen. Listen, I say it a lot, and I know some people are kind of taken back by it sometimes. Listen, I always make it a point. Listen, I'll tell God's people. I'll tell you all the time. I love you. Not everybody's that way. Not everybody expresses like that, but it don't bother me none. Because I want you to know, and I want you to hear it. And because listen, some people never hear it. They never hear it. I remember not long ago, I guess I say not long ago. It's been a while back now. Earlier, maybe last year, or I can't remember. Anyways, we was over at Hannah's parents' house, and Hannah was seeing, maybe her parents were seeing the chiropractor, and we were all in the chiropractor's office, and just across the way there was a gas station, and it was one of those great ones. It's got one of those bean-to-cup coffee makers. Hallelujah. I mean, that's like the greatest thing ever made. It's a bean-to-cup coffee maker. And I walked over there, and I was going to get me a cup of coffee because, obviously. And I walked over there, and I just walked in there, and I couldn't figure that thing out. That was some, you know, some big-time digital thing, and I was trying to figure. And so I asked that lady at the counter if she could help me. And she was an older lady, and she was real friendly. She walked right over there, you know, and she went to punching things, and she told me to get my cup. And she helped me, and we got that thing going. And she was a lot of fun. She had a fun personality, you know. And she's just a little old lady. And whenever we got that coffee going, that coffee started pouring. I said, I don't remember exactly what I said to her, but I think I told her, you know, I thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love you. And I just put my arm around her and just give her a little side hug there, you know. And she was kind of taken back by that. But next thing I knew, she put her arm around me. She laid her head on my shoulder. She said, I needed this hug. She said, I needed this. And then she started telling me about some of the things that have been going on in her life, some things that have been going on in her children's lives. Children moved away, far away, and she's all by herself here. And I think her son was there the week before and had just left, and she just was feeling just so by herself, you know, and all these things. And she was a Christian. She was a believer. We got to talking, you know, and she had a real burden for her children. And I was telling her about a church that was in their area and wrote down the name of that church and give it to her. Oh, I mean, all these things, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. But I'm just simply saying, whenever I did that, I was halfway kidding around with her. You know, I was halfway joking. But boy, she leaned into that thing. She said, I needed that so much. And you'd be surprised at the people that don't have the love of God in their life. Amen. Oh, they've got the love of this world. Amen. They've got all the social media influencers telling them what will fulfill them, what will complete them, and promoting self-love. And in fact, if you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, boy, this will really just make you, you know, really love yourself, and it'll make you happy. But it's all a lie. It's all a bucket with holes in it. Amen? They just don't have what we have. God's love is perfected in us. Amen? Let me say this. In verse number 13, hurry through this quickly, but in verse 13, we find that it's reflected in His Spirit that's within us. It says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. See, His Spirit does a work of confirmation, it does a work of communion, and it does a work of conformity in God's people. Amen? And He does this in us, and He does it for us. Amen? It's reflected in our assurance in verse 14. It says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen, He said. You know, in chapter 1, verse 1, one of the very first things John even said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. That word there, seen, that means to steadfastly and deliberately contemplate a matter. You're not talking about just seeing with the physical eye. It's much deeper than that. It's to steadfastly and deliberately contemplate a matter. In other words, the apostles he's talking about, when he says, we have seen, talking about the apostles, he said, we have carefully studied and examined and contemplated this man Jesus. Amen? And they've found Him perfect. Amen? Like the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, like the psalmist said. They found no fault in Him. And having seen Him, it's produced results that still presently are in effect. Having steadfastly and deliberately contemplated here. See, His love is keeping me, not me keeping His love. Amen? Having seen Him, having looked upon Him, having studied Him. Listen, it's had an effect in these apostles' life. It's had an effect in my life and your life that is producing results right now, today, continually. Let me give you this. It's reflected in testifying. Verse 14. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So again, we, the apostles, He's talking about, they bore testimony to the truth of witnessing His work. That is, His human nature, His works, His transfiguration, His resurrection, His ascension, all those things. They bore witness and bore testimony of it. And they testified even unto death concerning Him as the Savior of the world. Now you say, how does that reflect the love of God? Well, it reflects the love of God in this way. In the day in which they were testifying concerning Him being the Savior of the world, emperor worship was the religion of that day. As far as you were concerned, Caesar was God. Right? Amen. Or you were a Jew or whatever. Or you were into Judaism or whatever. And so they testified unto death concerning His love and concerning Him being the Savior of the world. Only the love of God will make you do that. Listen, I know religion will make people do crazy things, but listen, being willing to stand for truth, even if it means death, that in itself reflects the love of God. That's why many of our forefathers went to the stake. That's why many of them went to the cross. That's why many of them went to horrible deaths, because of the love of God that was shed abroad in their heart. Last of all, I'll give you this and I'm done. It is reflected in declaration. In verse 16 it says, "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." He said, "We have known." That's our word, isn't it? Comes to 1 John, knowing. We have known. In other words, we've got this settled in our heart. We know to the extreme degree. We know these things are settled. Listen to what Brother James Jones said about this. He said, "When love is dominant in our hearts, as it is in God's, there is no space for the spirit of hate, envy, jealousy, malice, or selfishness." He said, "When love reigns and we are in fellowship with God, what trial can we not bear? What tempest might we not be able to endure? What temptation might we not overcome? Or what tribulation might we not undergo?" Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." And then in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Brother James Jones went on to say this. He said, "He that dwelleth in love," he said, "this is as close a description of communion as can be given. That person who dwells in this sacred love, gazes into this love, and longs to abide eternally in that state of divine love. The soul that is saturated with God, the soul that realizes it is at residence in God. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Think on the description of that love, the depth of that love, and the desire for that love. Oh, that it be our greatest delight, the love of God. Beloved, let us love one another. Maybe we reflect the love of God in loving Him and loving one another. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it. I pray that You'd help us to be more like You and be what You want us to be. Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, help us to respond as You've dealt with us. Or if You spoke to anyone else's heart, Lord, I pray we'd do business with You. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.